This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to BFM Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. Now, think of the last time you turned on the location services on your smartphone. Chances are, it's switched on at this very moment. With the rise of mobile devices comes the bigger rise of location utilizing apps and services. Whether you're getting directions via navigation apps or looking up the best places to eat in town, we now realize that there are many apps out there that crave for a bite of our location information, and we seem to be okay with that. Today in the studio, we've got Edward Ling, Malaysia's lead for Waze, to talk us about location-based marketing, a modern form of marketing that utilizes smartphone users' information. Welcome, Edward. How are you?
I'm good.
A little bit nervous?
Definitely.
First time on radio, right?
Exactly.
I'll go gentle.
Right.
Right. So let's start off with, before we get into the questions, a bit of a discussion. Things have changed dramatically. I mean, I remember having to get in the car, having to buy a separate GPS device, having to program it all in, having to download things from all over the place before I could go home or wherever I needed to go. Things are much easier now, right?
Yep, it's much easier.
Right. So digital marketing has been around for a couple of decades now. Walk us through the timeline of digital marketing since it first emerged.
Right. So the digital marketing started obviously with the internet. Rise of the internet.
The boom.
The boom, exactly. Yeah. And we had search, or we know it's AdWords for Google, and evolve all the time. So today, if you fast forward like 20 years later, we now have programmatics and, of course, location-based marketing.
What's programmatics?
So programmatics is basically using computers to decide based on algorithms which is the best platform to have your ad displayed.
Right.
And you have location-based marketing, which obviously today uses the GPS in your phones. So a good example would be, for example, Pokemon Go. A lot of people didn't realize that your phone had a GPS and you can have a game, augmented reality, AR, where you can catch stuff close to where you are, which really changed the way people saw the phone, really.
Right, absolutely. You'd see thousands of people out at the same time.
Exactly.
And for a while, it was like the country had gone crazy.
Yes, for a while, yes.
Right. Speaking about the country, you know, where does Malaysia stand in this area of digital marketing? You know, how has it expanded over the years here?
So we have seen over the years a lot of adoption of digital marketing. However, it's still mainly traditional. So if you look at all the ADEX spend, for example, in Malaysia, it's primarily on traditional media. However, we are seeing a shift. And more recently, we've seen more people trying out new things. So we do have very advanced clients trying out new things, for example, location-based marketing. So that's coming out. Also, obviously, new stuff like programmatics. But today, obviously, we're talking more about location-based marketing.
Mm. Yes. I think it's something we can touch on a little bit later on, when we get to like the future of stuff.
With another expert from
Google. With another expert, So, you know, walk us through you're talking about LBM then, you know, so let's walk us through the history and timeline of LBM, you know, clearly it only started to emerge relatively recently, right?
Yeah, so in the last 4 to 5 years, it's really started, but like in Malaysia, it's always slightly later. So for example, if you study...
It's always on the way.
It's on the way, but, yeah. But you will see that even, for example, now they have associations of location-based marketing, obviously based...
They have associations?
They do, but it's really, really new. So in the last couple of years, this has really started, because even if you look at the penetration of mobile phones, only recently you've noticed that it's almost harder to get a phone that's not a smartphone.
Right.
But it evolves naturally together with the change in terms of equipment we have. So today, because almost everybody, is using a smartphone, sometimes two, the ability to have a GPS in your pocket, it's with you all the time.
I remember my teacher saying, when are you ever going to be carrying a calculator around with you?
Exactly, and now we have phones.
Of course, we have phones, we have calculators. Yeah. I mean, the wonderful things that GPS can do is changing the way in which we interact with the world, you know, where we go. Like you were saying, Pokemon Go has got people out and doing things that they normally wouldn't do.
Exactly.
So when they look at it, you know, it's spying on you, it's doing this. Well, no, not really. I mean, you're agreeing to the terms it's offering you, right?
Yeah, so you're asking about privacy. So as you know, for Waze specifically, we are a GPS. So we need to know where you are. So people are volunteering the information.
Yeah.
But being in a company like Google, which owns Waze, we obviously adhere to all the privacy laws. And a lot of the data is not provided to a specific detail. Of course, a lot of marketers out there would like that details,
of course.
But we are regulated by laws, and generally we only give aggregated data. So
right.
For example, we know that the example I give is like ants, you know, like you see ants, thousands of ants, let's say hundreds of ants on the table, the black ants and red ants. So we kind of know where the path they're taking to go.
Right.
But if you ask a specific name of what's the name of this ant, we say we don't know.
Right.
We're not allowed to provide it, and we don't want to know even because it's infringing on privacy laws. I mean,
there could be one ant wandering away by himself.
Exactly. But we won't know the name of the person.
Right.
Yes. But we know there's one ant wandering away. That's
so
all we know.
How long has LBM then been emerging as a tool for companies? You know, that's relatively new.
It's relatively new in Malaysia. So as far as I know, Waze has been here for 2 years now, since they hired me 2 years ago. And we, although there are a lot of companies offering this technology in terms of LBM, but we have been, I would say, if I can say so, at the forefront of offering this. So I've not seen a lot of people, I mean, coming to Malaysia specifically. But for Waze, it is, because Malaysia is one of the most important markets for Waze in the world, because we have a high penetration of users.
Huge penetration of users, yeah.
Top in Asia.
Is it really?
Top five in the world in terms of number of users.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Top five in the
world?
Top
five in the world. And this is not in comparison with, it's not per capita. We're just saying sheer number of volume of users, Malaysia's top five in the world.
That's fascinating.
It is.
All right. Okay. So we're just saying location-based marketing is and will be the next big thing in advertising, you know, giving advertisers the power to customize and target consumers individually at some point. So one of the many marketing strategies Waze utilizes, of course, LBM. Talk to us about the forms of digital marketing out there. You know, what does how does LBM work exactly?
So let's start with slightly more basic. So actually, for Waze, specifically on LBM, it's actually bridging the traditional media and the new digital, I would say, technologies. The reason for this is we think of us kind of like a out-of-home, a billboard, in a car, on a phone, on a smartphone, which knows exactly where you are. So for Waze, specifically how LBM works is, think of it, if you are an advertiser or you own a business, let's say a quick service restaurant, traditionally you might put billboards out there, obviously you have a radio. So Waze actually complements this. So it's kind of a new option, a new option in the market where you can use this, because we know where people are going. So if you're heading home after work and you're going to have dinner, so we can show a creative that's close to you because we know exactly where you are, and tell them, how about stopping by this restaurant for dinner? So that adds an additional layer of information that marketers can now use to make their campaigns more effective.
It's kind of like those chewing gum you would see at the end of the supermarket aisle. You've already bought what you need, but you're going past the supermarket and you're like, oh, I'll just pick one of these up.
Exactly.
Just because it's there for you.
And we add some context. So we actually know, for example, you're going to, you know, you are going somewhere, maybe your breath is stinky and you need a chewing gum, because we know the context. So we have a little bit more information there, but that's a very good analogy.
That's smart. Yeah. Okay, so why would or wouldn't a company, you know, want to invest in location-based advertising?
So I think that's why I'm here. It's really, really a pleasure to be here to explain it, because I think one of the biggest challenges in Malaysia is the lack of understanding.
Yeah.
So when you feel a beast that you don't know, you're not sure how it works. Sometimes you're under pressure to pretend that you know a lot about it. But the truth is, it's very, very new. And that's why they've hired a few of us in Malaysia here to explain it to the market, to say this complements it. So when you have misconceptions about the product or how it works, then you might assume stuff like it's expensive and things like that. But it's really not. And because it's digital, so we have the advantage. But because there's also new stuff, like a new way to measure it. So for example, on Waze, we have something called navigation. Because we're a GPS, so we can navigate X number of people who decided to go to, for example, that restaurant that I mentioned earlier. So these are new measurements. So we kind of like a hybrid between the traditional and the new.
These are metrics that haven't been traditionally available.
Exactly. So nobody, like when I say navigation, actually nobody in the market is very unique to Waze. We have a measurement that nobody else measures, and they don't understand it. So when it's new, as you know, resistance to change, which is why we're here to educate the market, and very happy to be here on VFM to explain some of this.
Oh, you're so nice. Right. So how likely is it for a person to enter a store then after being approached with a location-based ad relative to not being engaged via LBM?
So as I mentioned, there are a few location-based marketing solutions out there. Let's talk specifically about the Waze, because that's what I'm expert on. So in Waze, we can measure what we call a navigation lift. So if someone has been exposed to the ad, because we have organic data, so again, saying that restaurant, for example, we know X number of people go. Now they've been exposed to the ad. how many percent did we increase the likelihood of this person to go into that restaurant? So the number becomes now Y.
Right.
For example, but it's specific to the client. So because, for example, if your offer is really, really good, if you can buy one, free one, obviously the people's tendency to go there, it's much higher. So that would actually influence the performance of the campaign. So these are, but generally overall, we notice based on all our data, we have noticed that it's consistent that it actually works because clients see the footfall, which is something they can see and they will see in the sales numbers. So we match that, and obviously a lot of clients then, once they come to an understanding, then they renew, which is the best sign because if it works, they will continue to do it.
Client retention is a big thing.
Exactly.
I have all kinds of ideas running around in my head right now. You know when you kind of get diverted on ways because a particular route is too busy. You know, you could have advertisers, you know, quickly paying a premium, you know, to say, okay, well, they can't go that way, but now they have to drive past us. Ah, do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Little wavy hands.
Yeah, but we can't.
I'm just playing.
Yeah, I know you're just playing, but we can't mess with the algorithm. So right. Ray's objective is to really bring in the fastest route. There's been people who come to me and ask me, did the highway toll concessionist make me go this way? I say, no, this just happens to be the fastest way. Exactly. And we will never allow this to be hijacked in that sense.
Good.
Because
all right,
that's our call of our application.
Right, okay. So we touched on it very briefly a minute ago, you know, privacy. So one of the many concerns of location-based advertising includes whether a customer would want to share their data and geolocation. So clients may demand more transparency with how their data is being collected and verified, right? So has this been a very apparent problem for Waze? If yes, how have you guys handled it?
Actually, it's not been very apparent because, like I said, people volunteer that information to Waze because they think it's important to share them so we can help them find on their fastest route. But obviously, we have all the options where they can opt out. So you can use Waze without contributing any data. But the reason we want people to contribute data is because when more people contribute, it makes the map more accurate.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck in traffic, we take your data and say you're driving at, for example, 5 kilometers an hour, and we match it. But in a country like Malaysia, there's a huge volume of Wazes already. That's why the information is so accurate, because a lot of Malaysians have been willingly giving this information up, sometimes to the extent of even flagging it. So you can manually flag it as well. So it's not an issue in Malaysia so far.
I mean, I think people forget, like with stuff like machine learning, the more data there is, the more accurate it can be for
us.
Right. Okay. We actually have to take a very short break right now, but when we come back, more chat with Edward Ling from Waze about location-based marketing. You are listening to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. My name is Richard Bradbury and you are tuned into Enterprise. We are talking to Edward Ling, the country lead from Waze, about location-based marketing. So investing in location-based advertising seems to reap more benefits in comparison with many other forms of advertising strategies. What might hold companies back, do you think? You know, what are some of the limitations faced when utilizing LBM? Because there's always a give and a take, you know.
Yeah.
So what are some of the limitations, do you think?
So I think it's, again, coming back to the point I said. So they are new to the technology. So it's not everybody is willing to try new types of advertising. So they always want case studies and stuff like this, which we have. Mm. We also have very advanced clients who are willing to be cited as examples for case studies. I think the other thing is right now in the market, currently the market's pretty soft. So people are quite, I would say, hesitant to try new stuff. But I believe they should do the opposite. I think in times where it's slightly more difficult, you should find technology and especially advertising technology that actually can bring more tangible results.
Like, right.
Like, say, for example, ours, we are measuring navigation. So you can actually see and compare with your sales. I mean, I'm sure somebody's, if they're going to the store, they should buy something, I hope. Not just have enough free aircon and stuff like that, but they should buy something. So they can think about a new marketing mix. And I'm saying we are complementing. So I wouldn't put Waze like, or location-based marketing against everything else. I think now clients have a bigger, wider option.
More holistic.
Exactly, more holistic. So if you need, for example, branding. So I see some clients doing a lot of branding. They do a lot of billboards, for example. Mm. But you also need to have ways, because then if I see the billboard, let's say I see a burger on a billboard and I feel like eating it, how do I get there? And Waze can complement this. Hey, by the way, if you search this keyword on Waze burger, for example, we bring you to the closest burger store, for example. So these are things that can complement rather than just splashing a lot more on the billboard, for example, but you don't have a means to join the dots. And again, a disclaimer, we are not there yet. A lot of people say, can you track to a detail? Again, like I said, back to the privacy stuff, we don't track to that level, but at least there's now an option to show aggregated data. I increase X amount of percent of people to go to your store after you did this advertising, together with radio. So don't forget to advertise on BFM, because it's complimentary.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So with access to your customers' locations, what sort of common information or behaviors do you analyze when preparing for stuff like push notifications or advertisements that's specific to each geolocation?
So we start with the push. So we don't push. So Waze has a very strict policy to ensure that people continue to use Waze. So we're one of the ads, which is really interesting. So we call our ads native because they're part of the map.
Yeah.
And I think we are probably the only, again, disclaimer, we are probably the only ad that people want to click. And we've seen that in the click-through. So for example, when you search for a particular food chain, you can type and the closest food chain will actually appear on top. And this is based on your real-time GPS. So it's, if you are in Penang, the closest will show up. So people actually want to click on it because it's helping me. So Waze, the location ad is trying to be useful so that you actually click it.
So how should companies put their customers' locations and other available data to good use?
So it's very simple. You should think of it as a reverse. So because Waze knows where the users are, so you want to be relevant to the user. So instead of thinking in the traditional way of like, I want to reach these kind of people, it's kind of now, let's say it's native, it's more helpful. You are passing this route. How about, by the way, stopping at this drive-thru, for example? Or it's a bad jam. You could spend another half an hour shopping and wait the jam out kind of thing because you're in wait. So it's a bit of a reverse because we have ad formats that can be high impact, but still we think the way forward is to be native because, as you know, in the digital marketing space today, there's a rise of ad blockers and stuff like that because people are getting very fearful of the ad. So on Waze, we don't have an ad that blocks your screen because people can easily do it by saying, if you want to use Waze, you must click this ad, right? Which a lot of people get.
As a consumer, that exactly. is one of those things that would make you uninstall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for us, we've been able to balance it. And that's why I say Waze ads are useful. And it's just about educating the marketeers to say, this is how you use it. And we are very careful in running campaigns. We always, for example, go use our native format. So I don't know if you know, but we have pins.
Yeah.
So it's kind of part of the map. If you're interested, oh, by the way, you're hungry, you can go to this restaurant. If you need fuel, you can go here. So it's very useful for people so that they don't kind of get scared of it.
I'm so glad you're sticking with that route as well. Because seriously, the minute that I start seeing an ad start to take up a whole screen, I'm like, boom, that app has gone, regardless of how useful it's been.
Yes.
You know, because it's an invasion. First of all, it's an invasion of privacy. Mm. And it just irritates the heck out of you, right?
To a lot of people as well.
Of course, right. So, like you were saying, is there a specific pool of marketers who could be more interested in LBM than others? You know, talk to us about the demographic of marketers who utilize LBM.
So actually, Waze ads and location-based marketing, it cuts across all the marketers because it can be
B2B, B2C.
Yeah, B2B, B2C, everything. It's useful because, for example, you mentioned B2B, we can geo-target. So if it's an area where the client wants to target, for example, it's an industrial area and they only sell industrial equipment. Mm. Now I have a new option because we geo-target. So you can actually draw a circle, like 5 kilometer radius around this area where hopefully CEOs or decision makers go to work using Waze and you can target them. But like I said, we cut across the whole market. So because we are a branding tool, but yet we have the power of measurement. But more specifically, because we are targeting drivers, so obviously the more relevant one would be people like auto industry or food where they have drive-thrus or even like, for example, everything to do with the car, the whole auto.
And so also exhaust and tires,
exactly.
And, you know, detailing the whole thing.
Because that's like 100% driver targeting. So for example, we do have clients who previously, I give you a specific example, I won't name the client because I didn't get the clearance, but they are an auto workshop. And when they sent me the brief, because they heard about it, they gave the traditional brief, like we're targeting males, ages between 25 to 35, and yada yada. And I just replied to them and said, look, we are targeting 100% drivers. So none of your marketing dollars are wasted because everybody who sees the Waze ad is driving.
Right.
So this is more the relevant, but I'm not just saying that we have telcos using us because there's different ways to do it for different clients. So I'm saying that based on the client base, we will go for more auto and fast food or quick service restaurants, but we also have telcos and property and everyone else on
Waze. It's quite a shift, isn't it?
It's quite a shift, yes.
All right, a couple more questions before we take a break.
Yep.
Let's center ourselves, the innovations and technology.
behind LBM. How have brands elevated the usage over LBM over the last few years? You know, have collaborative efforts worked effectively between brands in this area of marketing? And how much has Waze been doing to keep up with the LBM innovative efforts?
So let's talk about Waze specifically. So we have had a lot of collaboration with clients, and I'll name two case study examples. So we have had, for example, AirAsia on Waze, and it was actually a voice of Tony Fernandez.
Hi, Tony,
yeah. So that was kind of an interesting play to branding, because although it's kind of like a voice, but because we're a GPS, so it's still location-based marketing. But think about it, like not many advertisers can be with you 2 hours a day or 3 hours, depending on how long you drive.
Right, right.
So it's a very, like, it's a very native way. So we have very strict rules not to allow him to over-advertise you, because you get hell of irritated, right? But
yes,
it's kind of like an experience, but yet he had the ability to capture his voice on Waze, and people could feel him, and he was like a control tower telling you as a pilot. So for like me, when I was young, I wanted to be a pilot.
Right.
It didn't happen, but it's kind of an interesting experience. So it's still related to the airlines, and it was Tony, obviously. And his voice, by the way, was available globally. So
right,
it was available to everyone on the planet Earth.
Would they want to have heard of him elsewhere? They wanted to hear him in other countries?
So that was where we had an interesting study. And with data now, we would be able to, because we never knew it would work, but surprisingly, like, I don't know whether he'd let me show it, but he was just popular in two countries. One was UK, because he's famous there, because he owns football clubs.
QPR, yeah.
But so what surprised me personally was that he was actually very popular in the US. So I think it's his close ties with Richard Branson,
right,
because we saw a huge significant number of people actually manually downloading his voice to use it.
That is interesting.
It was very interesting for us to share. Yeah, so these are the insights that we could provide.
Who would have thought it? Tony Fernandez popular in the UK and the US.
Yep, exactly. So,
wow.
So that was kind of the summaries we had. So the other collaboration we did was, which is very interesting, was with Shell in Malaysia. So I know every year on the roads, a lot of Malaysians pass away in traffic jam, not traffic jams, no, sorry, in accidents, not traffic jams, yeah. So what we did was we tried to change the way people saw accidents. So in this case, because every year we have the authorities coming to tell us there's dangerous roads here and here and here, unfortunately, that data was related back to fatalities.
Mm.
So if someone passes away on this road, they count it and they tell you don't drive so dangerous on this road because you're likely to pass away. But the thing is with humans is we are not so morbid. When you get in the car after this recording, I don't think I'm going to die. And that's why the messaging doesn't get into me. And people, unfortunately, human beings are like that. We think it's going to happen to someone else.
It happened to them, it
exactly,
won't happen to me.
Exactly. So what we did was we had a sponsor. Now Shell came along and wanted to change this message. So what we did was that we took Waze data. So Waze has data whether someone dies or not. So if you use Waze, you know that people report report accidents every time there's one. So it's very, very accurate. So now we changed the messaging on saying that, hey, if you're going to drive on this road, there's a lot of accidents. So it may cause damage for your car if you get in an accident, 2,000-3,000. So now this suddenly becomes more relevant to the person. Oh, I don't want to crash my car. But if you talk about dying, right, they go like, I don't really care. So we change this around and we use geo-targeting. So people heading towards those roads, and we target them with a traditional ad to remind them to drive safer on these roads. And it's pretty effective, because even for myself, doing the study, I saw the top 50 dangerous roads. Some of the roads I drive quite
frequently
and also quite fast on those roads. So I've been reducing my speed. And overall, when we look at the data, there was some reduction in fatalities, not necessarily accidents. But this is a start of partnerships, innovation that we use with our technology.
Smart.
Yeah.
Final question before the break then.
Yeah.
As social media is a big part of today's world, is there a relationship or a link between LBM and social connectivity?
So those are the things that we're starting to look at. So if you know Waze is interesting because we call ourselves a social GPS, because you have the ability to actually interact with other people. So the whole idea of Waze is that we are in traffic together.
Mm.
So there is a social element.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of the, I would say, the community, we have not allowed marketers to advertise to them. So we have very strict rules around this, because they are like so precious to us. It's community, it's everybody. They're contributing data. There's a point system within Waze, which a lot of marketers have come to me saying they want to do something with it. But it's so sacred that we have not allowed it. So maybe in the future right now, we don't have anything for that. But we do have that social element that makes Waze so much better.
All right. Yeah. You are tuned into Enterprise here on BFM 89.9. I'm in the studio with Edward Ling from Waze. We are talking about location-based advertising. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're looking at the bigger picture and the future of what LBM could hold for all of us. Stay tuned. You are listening to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are tuned into BFM Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio right now with Edward Ling. He is from Waze. We are talking about location-based marketing. Earlier, we had a bit of an introduction into what location-based advertising is. We are now going to move on to what the bigger picture is. So what are some of the most prominent challenges facing the advertising industry today, specifically for Malaysia?
So I see that a lot of businesses here are overspending on traditional media when a lot of shift has moved on towards more digital platforms. So that's, I think, one of the challenges. Also, as we all know, the market is pretty soft. So I think marketers now need to really study the whole options that they have and choose what is more effective for them in that sense.
Right. And obviously with challenges come opportunities. You know, talk to us about some of the most sought-after advertising opportunities in the industry.
So in my view, when things get slightly more difficult, there is a huge opportunity when people are cutting their spends. If you can be smarter and get more branding out there, more prominent, you can become more prominent.
Everybody wants to save money, right?
Exactly. Everybody wants to save money. So if you do the opposite, and I think that's the strategy to go, because people are cutting, then you can suddenly become the forerunner and you can suddenly get a larger share of voice or whatever it is. So I think people need to think differently. We need to go out of the box, because that's the way the market shifts. Like, even for companies like Google or Facebook, I mean, things change so quickly that we have to constantly change the way we approach things.
I mean, Facebook change almost every day.
Exactly. So even the technology behind it, so like we are constantly learning and doing new things, introducing new things. So I think businesses in Malaysia need to understand that things change much faster than before, and what worked 20 years ago may not work today.
Right.
So if they don't change quick enough, they may need to be changed.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yes, I mean, yes. you can feel left behind if you're not keeping up to date with your apps or anything else, even just over a couple of days.
Exactly. But there's also good news, because there's a lot of companies investing here. Like, for example, like myself, I'm here as more like a consultant to explain what it means. And all we ask is that companies listen. I mean, if they don't believe in it, it's okay, or they're not willing to try. But I noticed that a lot of companies, they shut down. So when I try to reach out to them just to get a meeting, just to say, I want to explain to you, they go, no, they are afraid to be sold to. And that's not necessarily our goal, because I'm Malaysian. I tend to meet a lot more Malaysian companies, but just to help, you know, Malaysia along. But we notice that sometimes some companies are quite
defensive,
which is quite worrying, because if they're not open to even listen, how are they going to change? If business is bad, doesn't mean you do the same thing yesterday, you'll get the same business that you did, you know, tomorrow.
I mean, even when once you've got that foot in the door, then you can show them the metrics.
Exactly.
You know, just people just need to listen a bit. Maybe they should listen to this podcast. That might help,
right? I think so.
Okay. So for now, we have this marketing strategy that focuses on the location of customers, right? Are there other areas and aspects that marketers may look to focus on besides location to further enhance the customizability of marketing?
So, of course, I'm the expert on location-based marketing, but we do have other technologies out there which we should invite them on air. But for example, programmatics, I think this is one of the interesting things to look at, because now, even for location-based marketing, we are going to be part very soon in this computer. I would say the simple way is a computer-aided decision-making, kind of helping you decide where is the best platform to put your budget in. So this is something that we think that would help marketers in the future. Of course, you cannot replace the human, but maybe ask the computer what it thinks, and then you decide based on that.
So Elon Musk, who's telling people that AI is taking over our jobs, he's almost right.
I disagree.
Let's say they'll complement our jobs, man.
They'll complement our jobs. So, for example, since you mentioned Elon Musk, he's building self-driving cars. Google is also building self-driving cars. So you think about ways. People are going to have more time in the cars. So coming back to that location base, they're going to have more time in the cars. So hopefully, you can decide if you want to overrule, or a computer can say, hey, if you are targeting people in cars, they're spending 2 hours extra now in the car, either reading a book, you have more opportunities to interact with them because now they're not driving. So this is like taking 5-20 years down the road, depending on how fast autonomous cars come to Malaysia, for example.
I'm thinking like 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's going to be sooner than we think, but I'm just giving that leeway because you never know what could happen. So it's kind of like we need to start thinking of this now, because if people are not even really considering location-based marketing today, what happens tomorrow? If suddenly autonomous cars are there, imagine we don't have to drive. You have 2 hours extra in the car, and marketers and advertisers can interact with them because they have so much more time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that leads nicely on then to our final bunch of questions about the future. So where do you think the digital marketing industry is headed?
So I do see, on a positive note, I do see a lot of change as well. So there are, like say, a lot of advanced clients here. We are typically doing a lot of first in Malaysia with a lot of new technology. So there's two sides of the coin. But because the mass majority of businesses here are SMBs, so that's where there is a bit of a challenge there. But the larger clients are very advanced and trying new things. But in terms of the future, so like I mentioned before, autonomous cars are coming. So for us in location-based, this is now something very important because the car will know where the person is heading. There's opportunities to interact with the person. The person can even do shopping in the car while going home, like dinner on the way. They're buying now, and the car could deliver it. So there's so many opportunities. I see a lot of automation, whether in buying the ad, like for example, programmatics, or even automation for driving, for example. So these are things that's going to complement. Like I say, it's never going to take over, because if you think about 20 years ago, they said there was the E, you know, everything digital,
right?
Electronic.
Yeah.
But libraries are still around, print are still around, although it's less, the behaviors have changed, but things will evolve, and we just need to learn to learn about this technology and adapt to it.
Okay. Yep. So as Waze is one of Malaysia's most used navigation apps today, using mainly location-based marketing, what other forms of advertising and marketing do you think would work for Waze in the near future? That's my final question.
So, unfortunately, we can't say a lot because there's a roadmap. If I tell it, I'll be fired. So,
I was hoping to get a sneaky little peek.
Yeah, but as you know, we have a lot of things, PNC. So we are launching new features. What I can say is we're launching new features every quarter, every couple of months. In fact, the cycle of Waze, the update, is like every 21 days. So every time we have something new, we will try to announce it gently because it's always a pilot. So some of the things, not related to advertising and marketing, but like, for example, in the US, we've launched something called the Carpool, which I can speak about because it's publicly launched. So this is something very interesting because Waze is probably the only app that wants to make our app obsolete, if you know what I mean. Because if we solve traffic, you no longer have to use Waze.
You no longer need Waze.
Exactly,
yeah,
but we are one of the few companies in the world that's trying to make the app obsolete.
Right.
So in the US, we've launched a Carpool, where it's actual Carpool. We tried to get two people who's going along the same, roughly around the same route to get into the same car. And we think by putting 10% of people carpooling in Malaysia, I think we can actually like significantly reduce traffic jams.
Do you think people would take to that here in Malaysia, carpooling?
In my personal view, I think so. Looking at the trends of when Uber and Grab first came here, they had a lot of challenges, but look at the pickup rate now.
Yeah.
So people do question me, like security and stuff like that. But I said, I think Malaysians are mature enough. And I go to conferences and we look at data. Like I said, Waze is the top 5 country. Malaysia is the top 5 country of Waze users.
I still can't get over that.
Exactly. We use big data in our lives. So I'm very confident, and I'm actually lobbying within Google and Waze to say, consider Malaysia. As soon as they're ready to come to Asia, I'm like offering to them. Obviously, there's no confirmation on anything, but I'm saying that I think we are a country that could work. So definitely on the roadmap.
Wonderful. Yeah. Edward Ling from Waze, thank you very much for taking the time to come into the studio today.
Thank you.
Folks, we have been talking about location-based marketing, LBM, specifically regarding Waze. I've been Richard Bradbury. If you missed any part of this show, you can head over to the website. It is bfm.my to download the podcast. And of course, if you can't do that, you can download our app, which is available in the Apple App Store and, of course, on Google Play. You are listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.